Okay. The title of this message, We Have. Just We Have. Because it wraps up with We Have. And it's what we have, who we are. And it's one of those messages to remind us of what we're in, where we are, where we're going. And we get so caught up. And before I do that, I just want to lift up John. He's in his own room. That boy has given a run for the money, hasn't he? Some of these kids just want to take us to the wall, don't they? Yep, yep. And so we're going to keep him prayed for. And I have a man that was my minister of music in my first full-time church out of seminary. And his name is Dennis Harris. And he's still in East Texas. That's where I started. I went from Southwestern Seminary in Fort Worth to East Texas. That is an education in itself. And good people over there, they just have their own customs and their own world. And we love you for it. All you from East Texas that are viewing with us today, God bless you. But he was a great minister of music, and of course we had the traditional choir and all that stuff. But Dennis and his wife Patty are good people, but he has been suffering with cancer now for some time, and there's a new treatment that he volunteered to go through, and it's working. They just, like, nothing can stop stop this, but we have this experimental. We need people to try it. And I thought, hey, I would too. Hey, why not? We got prayer, but it's working so far. And it actually is better than all the chemo and stuff, so, you know, to me. So keep him in mind, would you? And we go back a long ways, and I've seen him off and on over the years. Done, and they call me when there's a death in the family, and I've been back to East Texas to do all the services, and it's just one of those things. So if you would, and then my friend Bob that's up there in Junction, he's on top of his cancer that he's got that's moving its way down into his throat. He fell and broke his elbow and really shattered it. And so anyway, just people are having issues, aren't they? And I want them to all know, they might listen to this and it's like, you're being prayed for here, and John, you're praying for you, get you out of that hospital down there, and Dora and Mario, we're praying for you too. And I'm not going to just say it. I don't like to say I'll pray for you. Let's just pray for them. So, Father, we ask you to touch each one of them here, that they know this morning the power of God in their lives, and they not only know that, but the love of God and the grace of God and the healing power and authority that Jesus Christ has. We rebuke the enemy and bind him in Jesus' name, and we pray, Father, you'll just open up and turn loose your healing power in every one of them, your saving power and your amazing grace, because that's what we stand on. And we lift them all to you in the authority of Jesus' name. Amen. All right. We're in a warfare. I don't play politics. Try not to. I make mistakes. But I try not to here in this church. I've gotten close at times, and I waver back and forth, and I get riled up. I see some things happening, and I don't like it. And, you know, who cares whether I like it or not. But the Lord just began to put on my heart, Tony, it's not really even the politicians you don't like. It's not that. It's there's people doing stuff. I'm not going to cover it for any of them. There's some bad decisions being made. Texas has gone through this whole thing over, you know, the attorney general deal and all that. And I don't know, wherever you stand. But when the research behind it, if you research behind it, it's all I want you to know, there's a lot of evil abroad. And there's people that will cutthroat anybody. And it's that way in churches. Do you know why we don't do things with other churches? Because most pastors don't trust other pastors. How sad is that? All of us, and I say us, I used to be that way anymore. It's like, hey, if somebody really wants to go, they're not with us anyway, but pastors just are so afraid you're going to steal a member. Well, it's like if you weren't feeding them any better than that, and they weren't any more committed than that, then let them go. You know, and it's like, hey, I'm sorry, Brother Bob or Charlie or Harry or whoever you are over there. If you lose somebody and they come here, well, sorry. You know, what's the big deal? We can still cooperate. I'd like to see churches doing community things. We got enough churches. We've got a Cowboy Church right down there and us and right down there. Why couldn't we do community stuff? But anyway, it's all this worldly junk. It's this garbage. So let me read this. And we're in a warfare, and the devil's behind it. That's what I'm trying to get to. The devil's behind this. He's just manipulating and working all the time to just stir something up. And he's just the enemy of God and our enemy. So let's read what God says to do. And I abbreviated this, I think, a little too much. But you can read it. It's 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Verses 3 through 5, a familiar passage for probably a lot of you, but we'll dissect it for a moment. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. Hear this, hear what it's been said. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. There's more, but that's what we want to focus on to get the thrust of it. So just tie that we have. This is a New International Version that you're seeing up here. That's what I'm using for this one. And what is he saying? Now look at this. Friends, when you read it, catch it. What is he saying? Though we live in the world, that's the first point. Though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. Why? Because we live here, but we belong up there. And we forget. We have to live here for a short time, but we belong up there. Right? So our power comes from there. Who's there? God, heaven. His angels helping and protecting us. His Holy Spirit who comes from there and is put in our hearts. So we live here, but don't forget, this is temporary. We live here, but we belong there. And that's where our power comes from. And if we don't watch it, we'll start looking for our power and assurance and all this in our churches. The church can't save you. We look for it in political leaders. They sure can't save you. We do, and we look to banks and institutions, and there's banks closing out there, all this stuff, and it makes you, and I hear people saying, my retirement account, I don't take any of that lightly. It's just that, what are you going to do? You going to sit and stay awake over it? Are you going to say, God, you're bigger than this. Greater is Jesus in me than he that's in the world. I just can't give in to this. You can't. God knows what's happening, but he wants to hear from you and me. And he wants us to know we can't fight with the weapons of this world. You can double up your fist and smack somebody. You can say something to someone. You can tell them off. You can call up your congressman. You can give them a call. You won't get to talk to them, but you'll talk to some junior aide. You know, and by the way, if you're going to contact anybody in politics, do it by email. They record those. If you call, that aide will just listen and make you think they really like you and hang up, and that's the end of it. So know how to play the game. It's all a game. And at the same time, realize you can protest, you can call, and which you should do that, but your power's not from them. Your power's not from anything on this earth. And your power is not from the church. The only power the church has is the power that it believes God for. Everybody with me? Just because the church is big because it has a great music program or some well-known personality does not make that place powerful. It makes it well-known. And there's a big difference. The power of Christianity, I guarantee you, is not going to be found on all these TV ministries. It's going to be found in the local churches where people and their pastors are loyal to the Word of God. That's a fact. And God's power comes to that. They're loyal to Jesus Christ. They're not into a program. They're not in all this bunk. They're focusing on Christ. And so he says here, though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. Listen, we're commanded to live with God's divine power in our lives. We're at war. Do you catch this? We do not wage war as the world does. And many Christians say, no, we're peacemakers. Christians are to be peacemakers. God said, blessed are the peacemakers, didn't he? In the Beatitudes, that's what Jesus said. And yet, he comes over here through Paul and he says, but don't forget all you peacemakers and all you others in the Beatitudes and every Christian on the face of the earth. He says, we live in the world, but we do not wage war as the world does. And what's he saying? He's saying, you're in a war. You live here, whether you like it or not, you're in a war. And the enemy is against you, and he's using people and putting them in all kinds of positions, courtrooms, churches, everywhere, political offices, and what are they doing? So many of them, not all of them, but many of them are against you because they're against your God. They don't like us. They never have. At one time, this nation leaned towards Christianity. You could say it was, by and large, a Christian nation. What would you call it now? I don't even know. But it scares me. And sometimes it just gets to me, and I get angry, I get upset. And I've asked God, and maybe you have too. I've asked God, why did you allow during my lifetime for me to see the fall so quickly of everything we've always believed in and fought for in this nation? Why? You ever ask God that? Why couldn't it happen later on in the future? You know, back to the future or something. Not now, but there's a reason for it. I don't know all the reason, but I know that as long as I'm here, I've got to fight it, and I'm in a war, and so are you. You've got to wage war. Just know who you've got to war against. Don't get yourself caught up in warring all the time against people. They're only objects, subjects of an enemy. And that enemy was thrown out of heaven because he rebelled, and he hit the earth, and now he's rebelling here and doing whatever damage he can to hurt God and his people. So what are you going to do? We live here, but we've got to wage war with what comes from up there, from heaven, from God, from the Father, through the Holy Spirit. And so what does that mean? Well, are we going to fight on this world? Are we going to fight with hate? How many of you hate somebody? You don't have to raise a hand, but if you want to, you can. How many of you hate people? Are angry with someone? Yeah. This went away. I don't know why. There it is. I have a battery in this tooth right here, and sometimes it gets a little weak. I didn't plug it in while I was sleeping last night. False accusations, these are the weapons of the world. They are. Hate, anger, false accusations, verbal abuse, you know, this eye for an eye thing. By the way, you know, that eye for an eye, you got to be careful about that Old Testament saying. See, men had corrupted a whole lot of the Word of God. You know? Like, here's one, you know, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. That wasn't even in the law. That was written in. That was one of man's writings, his man's commandments they put in the scripture. Isn't that terrible? That's why Jesus countered that whole thing. But anyway, I just gave that for free. You can astonish your friends with that information. What else do we fight against in this world? Pride. How many as proud as a little peacock people do you see all the time? Strutting around. Boy, they think they're something. They get their own planes, you know, and they travel at taxpayer money. And, oh, we are something. Let the waves part when we walk by. You know? And it's like, I think you put your shoes on the same way I do. I don't think there's anything about you that's not common to people. But listen to this. Money, power, those are all the things of the world that uses weapons against people. selfishness, greed, lust for power, all this stuff. And so what do we have to do? Listen to me. If you're not going to wage war as the world does, okay, what do you have to do? You look at every one of these things that you hate out here and say, do I have it in myself? In the counseling field, listen, in the counseling world, when somebody said, I just hate these liars, or I just hate this, or I hate, and they're just adamant, and they're going on and on and on. Finally, very gently, you steer that back around to the place, do you hate yourself? What do you mean? Is that what you hate in you? Is that why you're so fixated on somebody else's issue, because that's an issue of your own? Sometimes people won't admit it. Most of the time they think about it, and it's like, yeah, I'm angry at what, I just hate people that lie. It's like, do you lie? You ever twist it? Is that why you hate lying so much? Because you're at odds with yourself because you tell lies. It's just easier to lie than tell the truth. You know why a lot of people lie, Christians? It's not that they're really trying to mislead everybody. They lie to make you like them. They want acceptance. They'd rather tell a lie and be accepted by you, me, than speak the truth and risk rebuke or rejection. Don't be so hard on somebody that tells a lie. Try to find out why they did it and ask somebody, you know, if somebody lies to you, why did you lie to me about that? You know you didn't tell me the truth. Yeah. Were you afraid that if you told me the truth that I would come down on you? That's how you help people. But anyway, that's just a little thrown in. It's not that everything you despise you're guilty of, but many times when we fixate on something, you know, and I just hate that kind of person, I don't like that kind of thing. It's like, well, look in yourself. Is there something in your past, something in your programming that you need to deal with? Is that why it's so big to you? Because it's one of your things and you don't even know it? It's just there. But people of the world have this stuff and they use it. And they lie. Do you trust anybody out there? In the media? You see, and it's like, so you can't trust anybody, so don't use this stuff. If you don't like it, why let it be in your own life? Do you have a lust for power? Do you like to dominate over others? Do you like to tell other people what to do? Oh, you do? Okay, well... Anybody else like to do that? It is okay. Thank you, ma'am. Okay. Well, all right. True confession here. Anybody else you like to tell folks what to do? Okay. It just feels good, doesn't it? Exercise power that way. What do you do when they don't do what you want them to do? We'll get to that another day. Yeah. All right. But you see, isn't that what everybody in the world's doing? And that's how everybody gets their way. And, you know, we're just, face it, this selfishness, this greed, this lust for power, it dominates the thoughts of ungodly people. And you're saying, you got to choose. I don't want to be ungodly. Okay, then I start looking at this stuff in my life and saying, why am I allowing it? I live in the world, but I do not wage war as the world does. These are weapons of warfare. I've got to let it go. Anger, why do I need anger? Why do I need all this stuff? Why do I need the greed or lust for power? Why do I need this pride? Ask yourself, why do I need so much pride that somebody can tick me off at the push of a button with my pride? Why do you need it? Why do I need all my ego? Anyway, you get the idea. These are not the things the world, and if we're not careful and we allow these things, that's how we're going to fight back. You can't fight back that way. So these are weapons of the world. That's what people in the world use against each other. So what do you do? What do you do? You know, how do you... how do you use the weapons that God's given you? What do you do with them? You ever thought about it? I mean, he says don't fight as the world does. Our weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. They have divine power to demolish strongholds and arguments and demolish arguments and every pretension. It sets itself up against the knowledge of God. We take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. So we look at this thing and it says, you know, we're at war and we have to fight. That's the whole thing. We live here, but you know, we're at war and we must what? Battle. Friends, we don't get the privilege of sitting on the sideline and calling the plays down on the field for somebody else. And we're in it. We're all in it. Don't stick your head in the sand and say, you know, that's for pastors and other people. No, we're all in this war. Aren't you tempted all the time? When you drive home from church, do you think you'll be tempted to hurt, maim, murder, send nasty letters? I mean, you get out there with these drivers and it's like, wherever you go, have you seen the rudeness? I mean, there's rudeness everywhere. It's not like it used to be. Used to be you didn't have, you know, so many rude people checking you out. Don't you wish, just I've mentioned this before, but don't you wish somebody once in a while, you know, and some, a lot do, but, you know, wouldn't you like it? Just, you go in, you bought all this grocery, it's like I'm supporting this store, and you walk up there and they don't acknowledge you and they just start doing their thing. And they hand you the receipt and you walk in. And it's like, you're welcome. You're welcome. I went in a store right there in Kerrville. And I walked in the store and as I filled up and I went in there and I like those little cheese cracker things. I'm sorry, it's my failing, it's my weakness. I just like those little cheese and peanut butter cracker things in the package. So I had a craving and I went in there and wanted those and I walked up and to get my thing and not a word was said. Nothing. I had my little cheese cracker and well, I say nothing and the gal said, whatever it was, you know, it's 98 cents or something like that. And I put my money as it, no thank you. Didn't look him in the eye, nothing. And so I don't know what got into me. And I turned around and said, you're welcome. And she just looked at me like, do you have mental issues, sir? Didn't even get it. Didn't even dawn. That you know, your behavior here, you should thank me on behalf of the store that's spending money here. You should do this with everybody, right? So then I look, you know who I look to? I don't look at that. We go back to the military thing. I don't know who the officer in charge is. I want to know why you're not training your people right. I'm not going after them. I'm going after who's in charge. I didn't. I walked out. I thought, over cheese crackers? You really want to make an issue over cheese crackers? But it's over a lot of things. It happens to us all. So what are you going to do, friends? You're going to make an issue of it? You're just going to say, I am not going to let this reduce me to fighting as the world fights. Listen, our weapons are not worldly. So don't you give in to worldly things. You take these things that where you have weaknesses and you put it before God and ask God, I want to give you this and I want you to give me your strength instead. I want you to give me power over my anger. I want you to give authority over my lust. I want you to defeat this cussing and this temper in my life. I want you to give me, God, the patience you have. I want your patience, Lord. I want your ability because your Holy Spirit's in me so you can do it. I want your ability that I saw Jesus manifest on this earth to be rebuked and walk right by it. God, I want your power in my life to walk past offenses and not even be distracted by them, to stay on my mission, to show people that Christ in me is bigger than you are in this world, right? So that everybody sees it. Boy, that person has got something in them, and I want them to ask me what it is. That why didn't you get mad over that? How come you didn't throw a fit? How come you didn't act like everybody? How come you didn't panic? What is it with you? And you can tell them, it's because my God is bigger than this. I live here, but my power comes from there. I belong up there, and I'm going to live like it. Now, let me throw something in here. Because you bring these messages, and it's good to say once in a while, you know, you talk about, don't let the devil get this, don't let him use you. So how does the devil, do you have power over the devil? Do you believe you have power and authority over the enemy? You do, you know. Jesus cast out demons. You have that authority. You have his Holy Spirit in you. Christ in me, my hope of glory. We have all that, right? So how can the devil possess you? Think about it. Can he ever possess a Christian? No. Your temple is, your body is what? The temple of who? The living God. The devil has no authority there. Can he buy you? Can he own you? Can he hurt you? Think about it. Can he hurt you? Or can he use other things to hurt you? I mean, what power does he have over you as a Christian? Think about it. So how does he get in your life if he has no power to do it? Let me give you a few examples. Have any of you, I'll pick on the ladies first. How many of you ladies ever bought a really nice looking outfit? Nice dress, whatever. And the first thing you said out loud or said to yourself was, you know, the first time I wear this, I'm going to spill something on it. Did you know you just opened the door? And you think you opened the door with your own word. By your words, you'll be justified, or by your words, you'll be condemned. See, by your words, you'll be justified, which is saved, or you'll be condemned. You can condemn yourself, or so salvation through your words. So you say, I've got this beautiful outfit, and I just met you the first time I'm out. Now, guys, we don't have to say that, because we can get a new shirt, and we know the first time we go eat in it what's going to happen. I mean, not all of you may do this, but most of us know shirts are made to drip lunch on. And you just get used to it. Yeah, and I've watched, and I know, and I do it all the time. And sometimes if you go eat lunch with me, I wear another shirt. I take this one off and use the other one. Because I know it's probably going to happen. And you know why it happens? Ladies, you tend to bend over the plate and eat like that. We like to slop back and bring the food to us. Think about it. We're made that way. But what you say can bring it on. Have you ever gotten a little extra money, maybe a bonus, or something good happens and there's a little extra money for you, and you say, yeah, this will last about a day. Something will go wrong. Something will break. Don't we do that? And sure enough, something takes it away from us. We do this, we invite the enemy in. Listen, you've got to stop cursing yourself. Don't let him in. Don't open the door. Stop putting yourself down. Don't say those kind of, it's easy to do. It's a habit. You say, yeah, I see you and old so-and-so make it a good friendship. Y'all are getting along real good. That's good to have good friends. Oh, something will go wrong. It always does. They're probably a liar or do something. Well, you just bought the farm. That's an old expression where I came from, but all of them, you know what I mean. You just did it. And just think about the things you're saying and doing that's knocking on that door, saying, come in. He can't do it unless you give him permission. The devil can't harm you unless you let it happen. Think about the things you do. You take off down the road and in car, your vehicle, your car, your truck's running fine. And then, I don't know, why do we do these things? And somebody's there with you or whatever, and they'll say, well, you know, this pickup, since you got that tune-up's running really good. Yeah, it's about time for the brakes to go out. Guess what's going to happen? It might not at that very moment. Don't allow the enemy in your head. That's why it's in here that the weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. And we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God and take what? Captivity, or take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. And that's why we do it. So that this is, don't wage war according to the world, and you're letting the enemy walk in your front gate of your fortress when you say those things. And we all do it, don't we? We say, you know, how many of you have said, you know, things have been going real good, it's about time something happened. I've heard pastors say it, I've even done it myself. You get around a bunch of pastors and say, how's everything going in your church? And inevitably, one of them will say, or two or three, or all of us, at one point or another, you know, yeah, things are going too good. As a matter of fact, I've heard this so many times. As a matter of fact, yeah, things are going real too good. It's about something's going to happen. And it's like, well, buddy, you're headed for a division. You're going to have some trouble in the church. Why? Because you said it. Why can't you just rejoice and thank God for it, that he's protecting you and giving you a good church and everybody's happy with each other and be glad about it. Rejoice and be glad in it, right? This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. But think how many things we say and do that says, come on in. And we do it when sometimes we think because it's funny or whatever, you know, I'm going to do this or this will happen, you know, oh yeah, it's about time for a tire to blow out. Hadn't had one of those in a year or two. And it's like, what in the world are you talking about? Why are you doing? That's how the enemy, people ask, how can the devil get into Christians' lives if they have all this authority? Because we do this. Hi. I've got a new shirt. And we do it. I'm going to slop something all over it. Think about the things you're saying. By your words, you'll be justified, saved, or you'll be condemned. So stop it. Stop it. Do the old... Oh, I don't even bring that up. I'm dating myself with some shows. But there was a show at one time when they'd come in to see the doctor. And they'd say, this happens when I do this. This happens. And what did he say? Well, stop doing that. So if you're being defeated by the enemy, he can't defeat you unless you let him come in. Don't let him in the door. Enough. I'm hitting that too hard. Our weapons are not worldly. So don't give in to the flesh. Don't give in to this negative thinking and this negative talk. You ever going on a trip and you say, yeah, by the time we get there, it'll be raining out there, flooding probably. Why do we do that kind of stuff? And we get in that. It's a habit. It's a habitual thing. But don't let the enemy in. If you say something like that, immediately say, just say it. No, I refuse it. I rebuke that in Jesus' name. No, I'm not letting him in. No, that's not going to happen. Well, all the kids have been doing real good. It's about time for one of them to have a toothache. Yeah, I mean, stop it. They're healthy. Are you healthy? All of you healthy? You feel good? Stay that way. Good. No toothaches. Let me close with this. You say, you're closing? Well, I'm getting there. Don't you forget that you have God's almighty power to demolish strongholds. Now we're going to get a little technical for a moment. Won't keep you real long. Here it is. Stronghold. Literally means, you ready? It says stronghold or fortress, depending on the translation you have. What it really literally means, though, when you translate it, is a fortress or fortified position. A fortress or fortified position. You say, okay, what does that mean to me? When it was written, what were they talking about? In those days, your enemy, the enemies of Rome, at one time it was the Sicilians, And they built fortifications, and they took these big boulders, and they stacked them on top of each other, and they made rings of heavy boulders around their position. Now, we have things today, of course, that, you know, but we're talking then, when this is written. I mean, what did you have? A bow, spears, a few machines that could hurdle rocks. And these people, to fortify themselves, would ring themselves wherever their position was, usually on what's the military advantage? High ground. And they'd build these monstrous boulders, and it was hard to get in there to attack them. They might be rebels. They might, you know, they're attacking the Roman government or whatever. And you had, those were fortified positions. When this was written, that illustration here was what the people understood. We don't see those now. So and I point this out. You can envision this church on a hill or this building on a hill. And then we get out there and move these huge boulders and stack them up as a wall, a ring all the way around it. And all the people have to get to us are bows and arrows, spears. So they can ride up in their chariots. But then they're down there and they're trying to get at us through these rocks. And we've got places in the rocks, little chinks in there, and platforms. We put other rocks behind the rocks to stand on, and we raise up and we fire a bow at them, or we hurl our stuff. We sling stones at them, and they're slinging at us, except we're ducking down behind that ring of stones. That's formidable. Those were hard. There was a general named Pompeius. And he fought the Sicilians, and they had tons of these things. And he's in that history of that time, and Paul is alluding to this as God's leading him to write this. He took these Sicilians on, and he destroyed those kind of how he did it, 120 of those kinds of formations, and he took 10,000 prisoners. Now you say, well, that's great history, but how does that apply to us? Two ways. Sometimes with our habits and our attitudes, we put a ring of boulders out there, and God's trying to tear those down, and as fast as he moves to remove one boulder, we're trying to push another one in place. I want my habit. I want my temper. That's protective for me. I don't want to be vulnerable. And the enemy has done the same thing in our lives. He's built up these fortresses that we can't tear down. That's why when pressure comes, hardship comes, stuff hits us really hard, we revert back to things that are not good for us. You don't have to admit anything here, but you know that's totally your will. But how many times have you in your life, when a lot of pressure came, instead of being able or being willing to turn it over to God, you went back to what fortified you, that ring of boulder thing in the past? How many of you turned alcohol? Food. Okay. You start eating. How many start drinking? How many of you go to start smoking something or taking something? How many we go through our fallback? That is a fortress. That is something that is what's called a what? Stronghold in the scripture. It's a fortified position. And the only thing that's going to tear it down, you can't whip it. Counselors can't whip it. I'm not knocking counselors. But that kind of position that leads you to go back and do something bad for yourself, the only thing that's going to take it down is for you to commit that to the Word of God, to Jesus Christ Himself, and take the authority in His name to destroy that stronghold. And He will. And He will. You'll always be tempted to go back, but there won't be any boulders there to protect you. Everybody's going to see it. Everybody's going to know it. So food's a big one. Yeah. I'd like to say I never do that, but I do. I can whip those peanut butter cheese cracker things down in a hurry when I'm stressed. I just like them, and I have to want, and those of you who know me a long time know, I have to be careful with Dr. Peppers, especially the ones with the real sugar. There's just something about them. You know, I wanted to do communion with it, but they told me that was pushing it. Anyway, got a no on that one. No, God wouldn't like that. But you get the idea. And so in that day, he was using this reference. He said, in our head, in our hearts, in our minds, our thoughts, your thoughts, right now, what is it you're just so dead gum stubborn about? You won't let go. You won't be flexible. That is a ring of boulders in your life. You've made a stronghold, and nobody can change your mind. How many of you do that? Any of you just practically stomp your feet? That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to do it. And it's like, it's so foolish. I mean, you're really going to do that. And nobody's going to change my mind. Well, okay, little fortress. We're going to pray you down then. And God will take you down the hard way. And it's hard. But you get this idea, right? So don't invite the enemy in, but what you say and what you think. And it says, you know, so you know what these strongholds were. And so we get the strongholds of the mind and emotions, and search your heart and ask God, where is it? Where's the stronghold? Where is it that I have problems? It says we demolish arguments and every pretension. What's that talking about? Does anybody have any idea? The word pretension in the Greek means cloak, like a trench coat. And what does it mean? He said, the word of God is to pull down those things that we're hiding. We're pretending, we're showing one thing, but we're cloaking, hiding under our trench coat, our act that we put on. We're hiding the real self, our real attitudes, the things we'd really like to do. And he said, God can pull those down. It's what's inside. It's that deception that keeps us from being real. And I've talked about this in here, so I won't go back over it, except to say we know that there's a stage face many Christians put on when they come to churches. And Jesus said the same person that walks in the church should be the same person that's out there. We shouldn't be hiding behind Christian religious cloaks. He said, take every thought captive. And that's literally what it means. It means think, everything you think. Captive. You've got to examine it and ask God, are my thoughts spiritual? Are your thoughts spiritual? And you submit them to God. And you appropriate God's power to conquer your thoughts. Because you won't speak a word or have an action unless what? The thought was there to do it. And the thought is the key. And the devil gets a hold of our thinking. And we start thinking worldly, and we're in here, and we have to live here for a little while, but we belong there. And we have to think. That's what Colossians talks about. Set your mind on things above. You'll have victory in this. This is not to make us feel bad. It's to give you victory. So to appropriate this power, to make this happen, let me give you just a few things. Number one, you have to decide that God's word is the absolute truth in your life. It will not, cannot be confused with anything else somebody says is truth. You with me? You can't blend God in the world. So you have to determine that what God says there is the absolute truth. Secondly, I ask God to give me his faith in my heart, that I have the faith he wants me to have. I ask him to give me hope so that my words and my actions contain faith and they have hope. And what's the other one? You know it's coming. Love. I wish everybody in this room would truly let God love you like he wants to love you and quit resisting him. Quit arguing with him in your mind and telling him that you're not worthy of all that love. You're not worthy of being blessed. We don't say in exactly those same words, but it's like, who, me? I know, God, there's people much more deserving than me and all that. No, you're so deserving, he died on the cross for you. He loves you that much. You have no idea of how much God cares for you, how much he loves you, and how much potential he's given you. If you just quit that down-talking and negative stuff and letting the enemy in and let God fortify you, build his fortress with faith, hope, and love, and his Holy Spirit who gives you all wisdom and discernment. Listen to me. When you're praying, what are you praying and asking God for? God, give me your Holy Spirit. That's great. What do you want with it? The fruit of that Holy Spirit, that's in Galatians 5. Pray that. God, give me your Holy Spirit and give me the fruit that your Holy Spirit produces. And God, use me to bear fruit out here in this world, to live this life as you want it lived, with that fruit of the Holy Spirit. God, give me wisdom. God, give me discernment. And God, give me faith, hope, love. And God, give me the courage to live it. Pray that way. And God, if there's anything in my life that's dishonoring to you, reach in there, convict me of it, and I want it gone. Take it out. And build a stronghold of these virtues. And give me the courage to stand out there and fight this war because I'm in it. Up to my neck I'm in it. And I may as well fight good. And just get honest with God. And you've got to want these things and God will give them. You submit anything in your life to God that you think is, that you know is not pleasing to Him. And let me tell you what's going to happen. Title this, you have. You have all this available. God has His wisdom, His discernment, His courage, His boldness, all of it. His faith, hope, love. He has it as a gift to you. He will give it you. It's through His Holy Spirit. Let God, it's like, remember Ronald Reagan when he spoke those words that resonate to this day? You know, tear down that wall. Well, that's what God is wanting us to say to Him. Lord, tear down that wall. Knock that worldly fortress out that I've been protecting myself with. And God, you be my fortress. You be my dwelling. You be my home. You have all of that waiting for you. Take it. Father, we thank you for the power of your word, for the courage and boldness you offer, for the faith, hope, love, for the wisdom and discernment, for the Holy Spirit and all the fruit of the Spirit. It's all here. God is so powerful. Build that as a stronghold and destroy the strongholds of the flesh, the world, the devil that's in our lives. God, you own us. We're your temples. We belong to you. You paid the biggest price could ever be paid, the life of your son Jesus. And Jesus, we thank you for it. And right now, forgive us. Tear down those strongholds. Take that wall down. And God, renew us in your spirit, because we're in a war and we have the weapons to fight with, and we just need to do it according to your will, your way. God, thank you. We have. We have. We have it all in abundance. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord. Amen. God bless you for being here.